Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we have come to a test of conversion in 1 John 2:3 and following. And this is a way to arrive at true biblical assurance of salvation. You claim to be a Christian? Could you be mistaken? Obviously, some are. The Bible talks about those who profess to be saved but are not truly saved. Judas, of course, is one prime example, but Jesus talked about many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, calling him Lord, and talking about their involvement in Christian ministry. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And yet I will say to them, said Jesus, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now that's a solemn, sobering statement for any thinking child of God. Unfortunately, it's generally only those who truly are born again who are ever concerned about statements like this and who take them seriously and who are willing to examine themselves to see if they be in the faith, which is exactly what the Bible tells us to do. We are to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. It is not only valid, it is desirable and necessary that at least at times we test our profession against biblical evidence. Do I really have biblical evidence in my life to give me biblical assurance of salvation? And that's what our text in 1 John 2:3 and following is all about. And so we'll continue examining it on this Friday, March 2, and we are able to do so because of the financial gifts of some of our radio listeners. Thank you for your consideration. Well, the test is stated simply in verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And the issue is keeping his commandments, recognizing God's right to command us, submitting ourselves to his authority, recognizing that he has every right to tell me how to live, and because of the work of God's Holy Spirit in my heart, having regenerated me, having made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, having birthed me into the family of God, I now have this willingness and desire to submit myself to his authority. My will has been subdued, quietly and sweetly subdued by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And that gives me a desire to obey him, to be obedient to the law of Christ. And so assurance is in this text described as objective obedience, to obey the commands of my Savior, to keep his commandments. By this we know that we know him, who? Jesus Christ. How? If we keep his commandments. Whose commandments? Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit of a technical issue here, but I'm not going to get into it very deeply or very, very far. But sometimes people are perplexed over which commandments exactly are we required to keep. What about Old Testament commandments? What about New Testament commandments? How do we sort these out? Well, it's clear that if you study carefully the words of Christ that are described in the Bible as the law of Christ, as, for example, Galatians 6:2. We are to be obedient to the commands of Christ. What does the Great Commission say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. There it is again, command. As we find in this verse, if we keep his commandments, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Now, I recognize that there is some room for disagreement as to exactly how to connect together the Old and the New Testaments, Old Covenant, New Covenant, Law of Moses, Law of Christ, but I think it's very clear that if we just start with this premise, that the commandments of Christ are the binding commandments for New Covenant believers, we will find that some of his commandments are the same as those that were given by Moses. But some Old Testament commandments are clearly now obsolete. Jesus himself abrogated some of the commandments of Moses, for example, the dietary laws. And some of the New Testament commandments are actually new. They were not issued by Moses. So when you've got this question about which commandments we are to obey, I repeat, some of Christ's commandments are the same as Moses. Some of the commandments of Moses are now obsolete, again, by the word of Christ. And some commandments of Christ are new. They were never spoken by Moses. As, for example, Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you that if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart." Now, you don't find that statement in the Law of Moses. Some will read it back in, and I've heard many people exposit the Ten Commandments in that very fashion. They say, now, Moses said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but that not only involves only the minimal requirement not to technically commit adultery, but it also involves all these other things as well, including not even to commit adultery in your heart and your mind and your thoughts, because that's what Jesus said. That's how he explained his commandment. And I would agree with that. I think that Christ's explanation of that commandment indicates that that probably was included in what Moses said. In other words, this is a fuller, a better, a more complete understanding that tells us that it's not only what you do, but what you think and what you desire that becomes a violation of the commandments of God. But having said all of that, it's clear that Moses didn't state that. And an Old Testament saint would have no way of knowing that mental adultery was part of the Mosaic requirement not to commit adultery, that it was included in the Ten Commandments. An Old Testament saint wouldn't have any objective way to know that. You say, well, he would know it in his heart. God would make that clear to him, and I don't doubt that. I don't disagree with that. I don't doubt that. I think that is very likely the case, though I can't prove it certifiably, because, again, when it comes back to the objective examination of Scripture, that's not what Moses said. He said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, I'll take it one step further. Don't even think about it. Don't even have lustful thoughts. Don't dwell upon mental adultery. And boy, that cuts out a lot of things. That cuts out pornography, doesn't it? Among other things, but that cuts it out. Pornography, which is so prevalent in our day, so easily accessible in our day, becomes something that a huge percentage of Americans imbibe on a regular basis and consider that to be inconsequential. That's not doing anything wrong. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't raped anybody. I haven't assaulted anybody. I haven't defrauded anybody. I haven't taken my neighbor's wife. All I've done is just looked at some pictures, and it's all in my mind. It's all in my thought life. It's not in my actions. I haven't done anything wrong. But the words of Jesus makes it clear that you have. You can't use pornography without disobeying a command of Christ. And so when our text says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, that should be a pretty strong word of warning, a very strong admonition to those of you who are partaking of pornography as a matter of regularity. That's just part of what you do. And you excuse it and minimize it and justify it and consider it to be just a harmless thing that's in your mind that isn't any violation of the law of God. It's a violation of what Jesus said. So, cut it out. You know, really, if you are a true Christian, if you are a born-again believer and have the Holy Spirit within you, you know it's not acceptable, it's not right, it's wrong, you know that. You don't need me to tell you that to know that, but my telling you that may be used of God the Holy Spirit to enforce what the Holy Spirit has already taught you sufficiently that you will agree to comply with the commandments of God, because it's a dangerous thing. We're talking about tests of true conversion. It's a dangerous thing to ignore it, to pass it off, to say, oh, that's just your interpretation, that's just your opinion. You know that's not true. I'm telling you honestly and accurately what Jesus said, and that's what we're dealing with here. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Jesus made that very clear, that this is his word, his commandment. But I say unto you, Moses said, you shall not commit adultery. That's a clear commandment. But I say unto you that there's more to it than that. If a man looks upon a woman for the purpose of committing, of lusting after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. And the commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. And I'm saying to you that when you do this, you are committing adultery in your heart. Therefore, my command tells you that this is wrong. Cut it out. Are you willing to accept Christ's prerogative to make that requirement for you? Are you willing to submit yourself to that commandment and live accordingly? Are you willing to put away these materials, whatever they are, internet or the old-fashioned magazines or whatever, that are feeding and fueling that lust that you have justified because it's just only in your thought life and you don't actually do anything wrong? Jesus says you are doing something wrong. It is wrong. Are you willing to accept that and correct yourself accordingly? Acknowledge that you have been wrong and correct that behavior and bring it in line with the commandments of Jesus Christ? If so, that's a good evidence of your conversion. If not, that is a warning sign that you may be lost, and that's pretty sobering. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.